Coming to you live from the west side of the I Street Bridge, it's The Nate Darling Show.
Call me sir, goddammit.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, trust him, he's a professional.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Here's Nate.
We're back.
Oh, yeah.
Last week was a bit of a cluster, so... so much going on, so much sickness and travel and...
Yeah.
Jason fucking us. I mean, the whole thing.
Sorry.
It's all good.
That's Jason for you.
That's what I ask anybody in my family. I'm always the one that fucks shit up.
Mm-hmm. Well, coming up on the show today, we've got stuff held over from last week, but I think it's still appropriate. Got some sex harassment, rapey, inappropriate news from all over the place. Billy Bush calling out Donald Trump. Billy Bush.
Florida.
Billy Bush. No, we're not going to Florida yet. And we're going to talk about bullying, a specific instance of bullying, and and how something that made a lot of people feel really great sort of went sideways over the weekend. But before we get to all of that, Jason, what have you been up to? What's going on?
I turned 40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo.
My wife. Had me as like, so like I've been part of this show. We just did our 10th anniversary show this last weekend,
right?
But I've been doing that show since the very beginning, and Chris reached out to Michelle, who books the guests, and asked if I could be the guest for my birthday.
Okay.
So that was awesome, because I knew the stories that I could tell. If you've seen the show, then you have an idea of what the guest should do.
And the show is Anti-Cooperation League at the Sacramento Comedy Spot.
Right. And I've done probably about 350 shows. I mean, like, I've done a lot of shows there.
You have.
In that cast. So I know what makes a good interview.
Sure.
So I thought that I'd be a perfect guest.
And what makes a bad interview.
And what makes a bad interview. So it was nice. It was great. And I felt like a connection that I hadn't felt with my cast. Like, I mean, I feel, but yeah, it was great. It just felt, it felt like a really good show.
Okay.
And then, yeah, I got a shave. my wife did this other thing that was really crazy awesome, where she sent cards to a lot of my friends.
Right.
And asked them to write something about how they met me or, you know, just like a good thought for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so she gave that to me on my birthday, and it was like I have an amazing wife. She's freaking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I just stream in tears, like. And then the thing is, like, I'm getting them still. Like, I got one today from another friend, which was great. So it's just like, who knows when I'll be getting these, or when she'll be getting them.
Right.
You know, because she sent them in self-stamped addressed envelopes. So.
Right.
Anyhow, yeah, so. That's what I've been doing. Family stuff too.
Just talking about yourself and crying.
Yeah.
That's what I got from it.
Yeah.
No, he's a big baby.
Yeah. Well, I just.
Well, it's the Irish in him. It comes out in the form of tears. Am I right?
Well, I just feel like I'm a pretty big jerk sometimes, and it's nice to see that I'm not. You know.
Well, no, especially not since you've stopped drinking. I mean, you were a nice guy before, but now you've really blossomed.
Well, it's like how
you've blossomed into the adult we all knew you could be.
Well, you know, it helps to be around supportive friends and family. Just yeah. Anyhow, so that's what's been going on.
Excellent, Kareem. You went back to North Carolina.
Yes.
Was that as awesome as that reply would indicate?
No. Okay.
Do you not want to talk about it? It's okay if you don't.
No, well, all right. So I'm going to tell you this story. You're going to look at me like I'm crazy.
But, I think I passed that.
But I'm going to tell it anyway.
All right.
So about a month ago, my grandmother came to me in a dream and said that they were making room for somebody from the family.
Gotcha. And so your grandma has passed.
My grandmother has passed.
Okay.
So I got up that – oh, first off, my sister called me at 4:30 in the morning to say she loved me. My sister has some issues. Not too bad, but sometimes.
Okay.
So so she did that. Then I had the train.
Okay.
And so I got up and I bought a ticket to go to North Carolina. In the meantime, one of my, I would say aunts, got sent to hospice, the week I was supposed to leave. So I had the dream, had no thoughts of any person in particular.
Right.
This popped up.
Right.
So she's been battling brain cancer for about seven, eight years. So, she passed this morning.
Oh, I'm sorry, man.
Yeah. But every time I thought about changing my ticket or not going because my godson graduated from Navy boot camp that weekend.
Right.
Somebody else had asked me to go to Vegas. So, you know, there were a lot of things that could have happened that weekend. Oh, and the other thing was, I knew my godson was graduating from boot camp and I kept trying to get the ticket to go to boot camp and he kept saying, no, 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 don't get the ticket because I don't want you guys to come.
Right.
So of course, after I buy the ticket to go home that evening, his dad texted me and said, Raphael wants to know if you're coming to graduation. So I'm like, yeah, nah, bro. I already got a ticket to go home. So, but anyway, so every time I thought about not going, I would have that dream again.
Okay.
And so I went and I got to see her before she passed. I don't know if you know, if you've realized this from all the time you spent with me, my family is fucking crazy.
You've told some interesting stories in the past. Yeah.
And it's a huge, I have a huge family. And so we deal with death enough that it's not a, when it happens, we're not like blown away by it. It's not.
Cause there's still plenty of you.
Right.
Okay. I get it. So no,
there,
I get it.
There was what? There, so I have two, new people in the family since while I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are three more on the way. So there are plenty of us. But the other part of that is, so we've dealt with hospice. We've dealt with cancer. We've dealt with all this shit. So when it's going on, you don't get treated special because you're sick.
Right.
So, you know, so we talk shit to you. We make fun of you.
Which is probably the best thing for you when you're sick is to be treated like you would be treated any other time.
Right. So, you know, and then she got put on, the drugs. And so she was funny. She did shit that was funny that a little bit out of character, like telling people get the fuck out.
Sure.
Her sister was teasing her because she wanted to come in the living room. So my cousin was walking her into the living room, and she was like, one, two step, one, two step. She was like, leave me alone, Magdalene. So that shit like that. And then I got to see my I got to see a bunch of family, made it a point. Got to see my Aunt Rosalie, who's the craziest person in our family. She's the funniest person I know. And I've met some famous people. Aunt Rosalie is funnier than all of them combined. She told me a story about digging for babies.
Okay.
So when she was a kid, somebody told her my Uncle Buster and my Aunt Mamie that, babies were found under stumps.
Okay.
So they would go out every morning and be digging under stumps for baby and all they would find was goddamn worms. She said, Uncle Buster told her, like, you ain't got to cuss about it. Oh, man. And then I got to spend time with my niece and my nephew. That was great. And then the best part of what happened was one of my nieces found a picture. So I was raised by – my mother took off when I was 2 weeks old. Mm-hmm. Everybody noticed. But the lady that she left me with died when I was five. But my memory of mom is her.
Right.
And so my niece found a picture of me and her when I was about three or four.
Oh, my.
When we were in Virginia, we would go to Norfolk to visit her sister beginning of every summer.
Okay.
So she found a picture and she got it cleaned up as much as she could.
Yeah.
And so I got that. So that was the best part of the trip.
Oh, no, that's awesome.
Yeah. I feel like I got a piece of me back.
Yeah. Very nice. That was a great story, man. And again, yeah. Sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
I don't have anything that that emotional, but I did have tickets to the Foo Fighters, but I was too sick to go, which really sucked.
That's a piece of bullshit.
Yeah,
there's a lot of that going around.
It was really bad. So what happened was, not last Thursday, but the Thursday before. Leslie calls me and her mom is back at the hospital and she was going in for emergency surgery because she was having some issues.
Ooh.
So we headed up to Reading and I had been feeling a little under the weather. Like if I drank hot tea, it would keep me from coughing, whatever. But we drove up there and the original call came at like 2 that they were going to bring her in for emergency surgery. We drove up there. They brought her in at 10 o'clock at night. She had to have her appendix out. There was a little bit of there was an abscess, so they had to keep her in the she was in the hospital for a few days with the IV antibiotics but they were able to get in and clean it all up. So it was like 12:30 when she came out of surgery. So we wrapped up there, went to the hotel, slept, went back to the hospital the next day, and I was starting to feel congested, a lot worse. So I'm like, I don't want to go in and, you know, be around her because I don't want to, I don't want to give her whatever I have. We stayed there for quite a bit of time on Friday. Early in the afternoon, Leslie says, we're going. I said, okay. I drive back. Felt kind of crappy on Friday night. Saturday, I woke up and my lungs were just full of junk and just felt god awful the whole day. Called my buddy. I said, dude, I cannot. There's no way I can go to the show. They were able to sell the ticket back on Ticketmaster. But whoever bought it didn't show up. But I mean, it's the Golden One Center, so they might have bought the ticket, either trying to flip it again because it was sold out, or they bought it, went in, and just stood around on the lower level as opposed to going upstairs.
Yeah.
So they got to see the show. It was apparently an amazing show, as I saw from literally dozens of my friends who were at Foo Fighters concert talking about how wonderful it was. They played. There was an opener that did 45 minutes. They ended up going until midnight.
What day was that?
It was Saturday.
Last Saturday?
No, Saturday before.
Oh, the second?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the day. And I was, it was day after your birthday. Or was it of your birthday?
That's when I was on ECO,
Yeah, that's why I couldn't go to that show.
Yeah.
Because I had tickets to the Foo Fighters. Oh, yeah, and then I was too sick to even go to the Foo Fighters.
Oh, man.
And then Leslie got sick. She's just barely getting her voice back now, but she got something different. Like,
oh, wow.
It was up in her head, and she lost her voice. I never lost my voice. Everything I had was in my chest for the most part. So it was two very different forms of sickness. We both had. It sucks. It sucks.
Yeah. My sister and her husband had something like that when I was home.
Yeah. It's awful. It's just miserable because you're constantly coughing. I've been literally coughing up yellow or green bits of lung butter for 10 days now.
Ew.
That's amazing.
Isn't it?
I'm glad I didn't come. We canceled last week.
Yeah, last week I could do it, but because you were traveling back literally that day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, let's not.
That previous week, maybe I gave it all to you because I was fighting something that whole week.
That's probably it.
It's probably my fault.
It always comes back around to being Jason's fault, doesn't it?
Yeah.
No, but I had some.
I have we have the little germy fuckers.
But I didn't get that sick, though. I didn't get any of that stuff, though. I mean, like, it was gone after, like, 4 or 5 days. I just.
You've heard of Typhoid Mary, right? Exactly. The good news is I do have a ticket to see Foo Fighters in September in San Jose at the other end of their tour. So it's all's well that ends well and all that. So we're back. We've been dropping some classic episodes, some classic Christmas episodes as well.
Bam.
Last Friday, you got to hear the one from 2011. So those will be going right up through. We're a little bit behind. So this show we're recording on Monday. It's going to drop on Wednesday. The next show we record is going to drop a week from Wednesday. So it's a little bit different. We got a holiday schedule going on, everybody. So we're going to try and keep as much new content with the classic stuff to go through the new year, because we're going to be taking 2 weeks off.
Hey, don't get your panties in a bunch.
That's right. It's 'tis the season. Happy holidays, Donald Trump.
Oh.
All right. So let's get into this. If you were on social media at all this past weekend, you saw Keaton Jones crying over being bullied. Saw it, heard it, played it out in your head. In case you missed it, here's a little bit of what it sounds like. Oh, God. Thanks, Internet.
On the 12th day of
Oh, that's an Old Navy ad. That's great.
That I'd feel bullied just hearing
that's right.
That.
There it is. He's like, oh, no.
Oh, man.
So, here we go.
Just out of curiosity, why do they bully? What's the point of it? Why do you find joy in taking innocent people and finding a way to be mean to them? It's not okay.
What do they say to you?
They make fun of my nose. They call me ugly. They say I have no friends.
What'd they do to you at lunch?
Put milk on me and put ham down my clothes. Threw bread at me.
Is it just you?
Yep.
Or is it other kids too that feel that way?
Say it's other kids too.
How's that make you feel?
I don't like that they do it to me, and I for sure don't like that they do it to other people, because it's not okay. People that are different don't need to be criticized about it. It's not their fault. But if you are made fun of, just don't let it bother you. Just stay strong, I guess. It's hard. But it'll probably get better one day.
So that's an emotional video. It's a kid who gets bullied. Now, that fact remains. The kid gets bullied. But the mom posts that on social media and then starts a Kickstarter page to raise money. Not quite sure why, it raised almost $60,000.
Just trying to say that the daughter trying to say now that it's not her.
Well,
that's what I was reading while you were talking. That's why.
Sure. The mom's Facebook page reportedly features several photos of herself and friends displaying the Confederate flag. There's also a post in August where she seems to be telling people to stop whining about slavery and racism. And it's not clear exactly what she's referring to, but the post was written 2 weeks after the neo-Nazi rally in Charlottesville. The post reads, "Dear butthurt Americans, if you aren't bleeding, no bones are sticking out, and you can breathe, stop crying. For the love, some folks clearly never picked a switch. And before y'all start talking to me about metaphorical, emotional, financial, or historical blood and brokenness, don't. Join a group. Hashtag, y'all need some porch therapy. Hashtag, coffee with Jesus. Hashtag, something. Hashtag, fine." Let me just say this. The fact that this kid has been bullied is not okay. And his pain is real. But do you think that maybe his mother is the biggest bully of them all?
Well, there were reports that he'd been calling other kids the N-word.
Well, sure.
So, if you call somebody the N-word and you get your ass whooped.
Is the punishment for that you get milk poured on you and ham put down your pants?
I don't know about milk poured on you, but you get your ass whooped. You will get punched in the fucking face.
Well, there's also a photo from Facebook of the family. It's him and some other kids. He's holding the American flag. His buddy or cousin or whomever holding the Confederate flag.
Yeah.
On the front porch. Again, that doesn't change the fact that the kid got bullied.
But did he get bullied?
Well, and that's the other question. Was he bullied? Was he, quote unquote, bullied because he's saying racist things to other kids? Which then, is it really bullying?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I saw the celebrity posts about this on the weekend. I follow a lot of wrestlers on Twitter. And it was a fucking avalanche of them posting all this stuff and inviting him to movie premieres and to see the Cavaliers play the next time they're in Memphis.
Oh, the football, one of the Tennessee Titans, yeah, Delaney Walker gave him tickets.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, they can't be too...
Chris Evans, he's coming to the premiere of the Avengers. Like,
yeah, so you got the Confederate flag, but you're taking shit from black people? What's that about?
Yeah, it's a little confusing what's actually going on with all of this.
Yeah, so you know, you complain about people complaining about slavery, so you shouldn't be okay with athletes kneeling. So why are you going to an NFL game
or an NBA game
or an NBA game?
So the here's the thing: GoFundMe has now shut down one page. And another is on hold with nearly $60,000 unspoken for. GoFundMe tells TMZ that the page labeled Stand Up for Keaton, which was opened 2 days ago, is no longer accepting donations since Keaton's anti-bullying message went viral over the weekend. The page has pulled in $58,249 in donations. However, the guy who started it is putting the charity on hold. GoFundMe says it needs to contact Keaton's mom to ensure she's the beneficiary, since the guy who started the page doesn't know her. So far, the company's been unable to reach her, so somebody else getting their hand out. There was a second GoFundMe page purportedly started by Kimberly herself, which solicited money for Keaton's Christmas gifts. Sources close to the situation tell TMZ that it was immediately shut down by GoFundMe due to fraud concerns, namely whether it was really started by Kimberly. So all those donation sites, their big concern is it actually for the family? And what are you GoFunding me? I know you can GoFund anything. It doesn't matter, you know, if you want to, like, record a record with your band, you can start a GoFundMe for it.
But GoFundMe for Christmas gifts for my son? Like, that's not a legitimate GoFundMe.
Like, well, maybe she should go have coffee with Jesus.
That's, I mean, hashtag.
Hashtag coffee with Jesus, because there are church organizations that help with that sort of thing.
Yeah, the kids next door where I grew up, they had a fire truck would come by, and Santa Claus would get off it and bring him a bunch of toys. I remember going over to him and he had like the aircraft carrier for the G.I. Joes in the garage. Shit was ridiculous.
So it's interesting. Yeah. It's interesting to see what happens after the first thing. It's why I always wait a little bit before I jump on any of this stuff. First of all, I've got a podcast. That's where I jump on this stuff.
Yeah.
Second of all, there have been too many times when things just blow up like this and I'm like, let's see what happens. And sometimes everything is on the up and up and sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
And I, you know, the big thing is right now, man, you just throw something out on social media and it's like, oh yeah, that absolutely happened. And the problem with that is it then lumps all of those things in with stuff that gets corroborated by 8, 9, 10 people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like the fact that you're a 30-year-old DA who gets banned from a mall because you're picking up on teenagers. Those sort of things.
Yeah. My wife was so upset with me today.
What did you do?
Because I made a post about this.
I saw.
Yeah. Yeah.
And but, did she scold you because he was bullied?
Yeah, she did. She did a little bit. And I was like, I'm sorry, but we don't need another racist white kid in the world. Like, and I get where she's coming from, because when it comes down to it, like, any kid getting bullied, it's bullied. But I'm very right. suspect of it, especially as soon as I saw Confederate flags, because, you know, I mean, like, I'm sorry, but it's just not. I'm not going to, like, it's tough, because bullying is bad, and you want to be behind bullying is bad. But at the same time, like, I was bullied as a kid. Like, I mean, I got it hard, you know. I was the shortest kid, and I had asthma.
Like, yeah, that, you know what that reminds you of?
What?
That we're animals. That's what we are.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
You were
the runt.
You were the runt.
As a runt.
You were the runt, and that's what we do.
And what did the runt do? He went and made friends with Matt Camisa, whose mom was a stripper, and he was a big redhead kid. And that's what I did.
You made friends with Nelson Muntz. Yeah. You befriended Nelson Muntz is what you did.
That's what you do for survival.
Exactly.
So, anyhow, like, that's why I was very suspect. I mean, like, and like, I didn't really hear about it this weekend and the stuff like that. The first time I heard about it was when he sent that, when Kareem sent that thing today about it. I was like, what is this? And as soon as I read it, I was like, I didn't even look at the video at first. I was like, oh yeah, this is fucking suspect.
I saw the photo of white kids holding a Confederate flag, and I'm like, oh, well, let's see where this goes.
Yeah, his hood was in the dryer. You know what I mean? Like, that was out on the line. Like, cause like those, like, I'm sorry, but that is some fucked up. I mean, it's all suspect. And as soon as I saw that, I didn't even want to hear it. Then I listened to it at lunch today. I listened to his side. Like, is being bullied. And I noticed, I was like, I told Chris, I was like, because we were having a critical conversation, it's a book, you should pick it up, it's great. but like, you know, the point is that I felt that he was being prompted. What did they say? How did they say it? And it was very choreographed from that point when I saw it. But seeing a kid cry, especially when he might have had like a cleft palate or something, you know what I mean? Like,
he clearly has got some issues.
Like, it's sad, and you feel shitty because everybody can imagine what it's like to be that kid, because most people have had some type of instance where they were the odd one out, you know, if they're a human. So you feel bad, so it plays on your nerves right away.
We didn't feel bad.
I honestly have not. The first time I actually heard the tape was when I played it.
Oh, yeah.
Tonight.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it. I didn't listen to it. I'm like, I don't need to watch a kid cry.
Yeah. I
just don't. But it was interesting to see the whole thing. And then someone asked Patton Oswalt if he was going to take back his $2,000 donation. And his response was actually really cool. He goes, you know, it's not this kid's fault that his parents are racist. It's something he was born into. But at the same time,
that's so fucking white.
It is. It's Patton Oswalt.
Because Gavin Ferguson posted the same bullshit this morning. Go ahead.
I'm like, you know what? First of all, you've got money to throw around. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead. And if this helps this kid see, first of all, is this money even going to the family? Or anything? Or are these just bullshit accounts that people set up to go, haha, crying kid, I'll set up a thing that says stand with Gavin, haha.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it just sort of falls into the critical thinking category. It's like, I'm like, okay, it's sad, but how many other kids got bullied? And worse than that. And
yeah, I've just in the, like, the thing that was crazy for me also was like, I've read at least three articles about kids that are like preteen committing suicide because of bullying.
Right.
Like, in like the last 2-3 weeks. It's like, where was their money and where was people supporting them? We're talking about them, you know?
Well,
so go ahead.
I'm just curious. His mother puts this out there. Doesn't it just really invite more of the same?
Yeah.
if you don't. And I read up a little bit about the school, and they've had issues. There were other kids, because there's bullying that goes on in schools. It's just going to happen with kids.
Yeah.
Because they don't know any better. They're learning who they are and how everything falls into place. And until someone tells them, this isn't okay, you're going to get kids that do it. And this school has a history of dealing with bullying problems in a very successful way. And the principal said the incident that she's talking about happened weeks ago and was dealt with already.
Yeah.
So did it happen again in exactly the same way? It's just, it's all very weird. And it really felt very exploitive, because the last thing you would want to do, I think, I'm not a parent, but as a parent, I would think the last thing you'd want to do is put your kid's pain on public display.
Well, that's the first thing I said to Chris. That's what I was like, I would never do that. Like, who would, first of all, who would put that on there?
But to your point, one of the kids who killed himself a couple of weeks ago did it specifically because of that reason. Because their parents put a video on.
Right.
Oh,
yeah. Now everybody's going to know how much pain this causes me.
Yeah.
I can't hide anymore.
Yeah. So, I mean, so that's that one part of it. But the other part, I mean, I'm old school. I haven't realized how old school I am until we started doing this. I started doing this podcast.
Sure.
And one of my friends said, like, we would handle it. Like, and the other thing that I've been really realizing the last couple of weeks is how different black and white culture is.
Yeah. I think that's really coming to the fore.
It's really, because we would have handled this a totally different way. Like, okay, who's fucking with you? And then we would have went and we would have confronted that person. Or we would have helped you get to the point where you could confront that person yourself.
Yeah, I was.
Or my cousin or my brother would have went down and confronted that person. That's how we roll. Especially when you come from a big family like mine.
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like the first thing I would do would be like to ask what, I don't know. I would not put it up, but why are they bullying you? Tell me what's going on.
What, like, did you do to bring this on yourself?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, why are they bullying you? Like, how are they bullying you about? Because, like,
Well, I called them the N word, and then a group of them dumped milk on me and put ham down my pants.
Ah, you deserved that, kid. Sorry. Yeah, that's bad. You don't say that.
That's right. And I believe her lesson would be, if you're going to do that, do it from a good distance and start running.
Exactly.
We only talk about that at home, honey.
It's what you yell from the car when you can drive away.
Like I said, you come from a family like mine, like, somebody's coming to school with you to deal with that. Period.
Well, something else that happened while we were away, Michael Flynn has pled guilty to a single count of lying to the FBI. and he's cooperating.
Your racketeering case is being built as we speak.
There's a lot going on. The former national security advisor acknowledged he was cooperating with the investigation. His testimony could bring into the light the scandal of historic proportions, in which the not-yet-installed Trump administration, including Donald Trump personally, sought to subvert American foreign policy before taking office. And then Donald Trump tweeted something that essentially implicated himself. And then his lawyer came out and said, no, I dictated that tweet. Meanwhile, he claimed he didn't know what was going on, but CNN unearthed something a little bit different.
Tonight, a source tells CNN that President Trump was told in January by the White House counsel that he believed National Security Advisor Michael Flynn misled not just the vice president, but also the FBI about conversations Flynn had with Russia's ambassador, and recommended to the president that he fire Michael Flynn. White House counsel Don McGahn did not say Flynn had broken the law or that he was under investigation. McGahn made the recommendation after a meeting with then-acting Attorney General Sally Yates. Yates came to the White House on January 26th and warned McGahn that Flynn may be subject to blackmail by the Russians, who knew that Flynn had indeed discussed sanctions with Ambassador Sergei Kislyak.
The first thing we did was to explain to Mr. McGahn that the underlying conduct that General Flynn had engaged in was problematic in and of itself. Secondly, we told him we felt like the vice president and others were entitled to know that the information that they were conveying to the American people wasn't true.
Yates told McGahn that Flynn had been interviewed by the FBI just 2 days earlier, but according to the source, did not get specific about what Flynn had said.
I remember that Mr. McGahn asked me whether or not General Flynn should be fired, and I told him that that really wasn't our call, that was up to them, but that we were giving them this information so that they could take action.
So they had the information.
He's already been fired by one president.
Flynn did not get fired until, I believe he actually stepped down a month later.
And the acting attorney general that gave the information was let go in the meantime.
But between those times, that was the meeting where Comey was summoned to the White House. And the president said, I hope you can look the other way because he's a good guy.
Yeah.
Said, and the president, before you fired him, told you not to hire him.
Correct.
And you did it anyway.
Well, that's because everything Obama did, he's going to do different.
Yes.
It wouldn't matter what it did. It doesn't matter what I'm convinced Donald Trump is shitting on the floor in the White House and letting his ass air dry because Obama used the toilets.
I believe it.
It's craziness. Meanwhile, the president also has been dropping hints saying, oh, no, that wasn't me on the Access Hollywood tape. So much so it brought Billy Bush out of hibernation.
You have this new editorial that you wrote in the New York Times, printed today.
I did.
And I don't know when you wrote it or when you wanted to say what's in here, because there it's a well-written editorial, and you make a lot of points in here, which are, it's really worth reading. But you couldn't have printed this. No one would have printed this unless this story had come back around again by Donald Trump privately denying it. There wouldn't have been the sort of the moment to bring this bus back. And I couldn't show this footage of the bus unless he denied it again, too. I don't think CBS would let me.
That's right. No, look, he last week, for some reason, came out with, that's not my voice on the tape. Like I said, you can't say that. That is your voice. I was there. You were there. That's your voice on the tape. And what that does, though, is multiple. I told you about my own personal problem with it. But then you've got 20 women at the time. I don't know what the exact number is because there's more. But 20 women who used their names. We've got powerful people being held accountable now. And sometimes there's anonymous sources. All of these women came out with their names and told their detailed accounts. So when he said this, it infuriated me on the personal front. And then I ended up Googling and I read an article with all of these women's accounts, because when that article first came out, it was 13 days after I'd been fired. So I was in my own personal shock, fight or flight. And so I never really read it all the way. And as I read these, I said, 20 women don't get together and say, hey, you know, it'll be really fun. Let's take down a powerful guy together. Ha ha. No, they don't. And their names are. And I said, okay. You're reopening wounds on them, too. Enough's enough. Stop playing around with the people's lives. That upset me. So I wrote.
So he wrote. It's a good op-ed.
So somebody that I know wrote pretty much something about Billy, like said that he was an asshole. Like said that, you know, he was a piece of shit or something, pretty much. Like they, just like, he's a horrible person.
He's not a horrible person. He's a dude.
No.
He did exactly what a dude would do in that situation.
Here's the thing is like, I don't like Billy Bush, but at the same time, like, he came out and I thought was like doing something and bringing something forward and saying, adding something to the conversation. Like, he took a stand, I guess, and I respected him for that. At the very least, of like saying like this is the real deal. But then, I just said, it's like, what did he ever do? Like, what? Why are you upset with him? And then she named like something like pretty much not saying anything until you read the full article. And I was like, anyhow, it's just people are just so ridiculous. I mean, like, it's ridiculous.
Women have an unrealistic expectation of who and what men are.
Well, here's the other thing about that, and I'll let you finish your point. He mentioned something in the longer Colbert interview about he told his executive producer what happened. This, yeah, there was a tape. He told his, he goes, the only people that knew about it were the people on the bus and my executive producer. Cause I told my, he told his executive producer. He's like, look, I was, he goes, you were Donald Trump all the time because at that point in time, The Apprentice was, at that time, NBC was not doing great in terms of the ratings. Right. And The Apprentice was that one big hit show. And he was the big cash cow golden goose. So Access Hollywood is an NBC property, and their whole thing was to really get the profile of this show as high as it could be. And you've got the a show that without Donald Trump isn't a show.
Right.
As we learned. It's not a show without him, even though he's really useless even in that aspect. So at that point in time, you're not going to go, hey, hey, biggest star on the network, what are you doing? You're going to go, okay, at least we're on a bus here. It's not, you know, it's
right.
quiet. And then you go and you tell your executive producer, hey, he's saying shit that's ridiculous. And he's like, look, if I would have known he was laying out a plan for sexual assault, I would have called the FBI. I thought he was just blowing smoke.
Right.
Yeah.
Like guys do.
Right.
So to vilify Billy Bush and fire him immediately the way they did was absolutely absurd. It was such overkill. It was such overkill. If you want to pull Billy Bush and go, look, man, we got to take you off the Today Show. We're going to suspend you for a month.
Yeah.
2 months.
Yeah.
And we're going to find a place. We'll find a place for you, but you can't have the Today Show.
Right.
It's too high a profile.
Yeah. No, hold on a second. We need to get, hey, Matt, can you buzz us in, please?
Right.
Matt, can you buzz us in?
Matt Lauer. Anyway, yeah, just absolute craziness.
Yeah.
But it's gonna get crazier. More stuff is gonna come out, and more people are going to deny it. Now, by the time this show drops, we will know if the people of Alabama are really as backward and racist as a lot of us think they might be.
No, they are. I don't know why. Look, we keep telling y'all keep.
Look, I'm not I have zero expectation that they're going to do what I would believe to be the right thing, which is not send somebody who, when asked when America was great, answered when there was slavery.
No, I mean, they're going to vote for him because they believe that shit. That is how they feel.
No, I understand what you're saying.
That is how they feel. That is who they are.
Look, I'm going to hold out hope. Just a little bit.
That is who they are.
I understand that. I understand that. But that doesn't mean I can't hope. I have a dream, Kareem. I have a dream that this nonsense will sometimes get voted down.
No.
I'm hoping too.
That's all it is, really, because I have zero expectation that I'm not sitting here going, there's no way they can send that pedophile who thinks slavery was a good idea to Washington. Because I know full well that it's a coin flip.
Yes. It's not a coin. Look,
the latest poll has his opponent up 10 points, but that means nothing because people lie to polls all the time. It means nothing.
People tell you what you want to hear all the time.
We will see. It'll be interesting to watch and see what happens with all of this. Meanwhile, our boy Terry Crews has sued Agent Adam Vennett for sexual assault. We talked about that a while back.
Yeah.
Groped him at a party. Well, he's now suing that agent for allegedly grabbing his junk at an event last year. He already filed a police report claiming sexual assault, and law enforcement sources tell TMZ the investigation is ongoing. In the lawsuit, Crews says Vennett stared at him, quote, like a rabid dog, sticking his tongue in and out of his mouth provocatively.
He needs help.
Crews said after the alleged assault, he pushed Vennett away and turned to Adam Sandler yelling, Adam, come get your boy. He's grabbing my nuts.
Yes, he did say that.
Crews says on his way home from the event, Adam Sandler called and asked if he was okay. And Crews responded that he was supposed to get molested. He was surprised to get molested at age 48. He says Sandler expressed shock at the behavior. The next day, he called his agent, William Morris, the same agency where Vennett works, telling them of the alleged assault. A few hours later, Crews says Vennett called him and apologized, claiming he was not himself that night. I'm guessing he was himself that night.
Yeah,
and that was the problem.
Yeah, I wonder what he was on.
Maybe he was on ecstasy. I love you.
He wanted to make him a cuckold.
And Wow. And finally, an alleged sexual assault wrap-up. Danny Masterson from the Netflix show The Ranch, which I tried to watch once. Good God, it's terrible.
I think you need a whole pizza.
I think you need a whole bag of weed.
Yeah, that's horrible.
It is. He was on that 70s show. He played Hyde on that 70s show. He's been fired from the ranch, and he's denying the rape claims. A rep for the Church of Scientology tells TMZ the church adamantly denies it ever ignores allegations of criminal behavior, especially at the expense of alleged victims. What's being said is utterly untrue. This has nothing to do with religion. This story is being manipulated to push a bigoted agenda. The church follows all laws and cooperates with law enforcement. Any statement or implication to the contrary is false. Okay. four women claim that Masterson raped them, and the LAPD is currently investigating at least one of the instances. One woman filed a police report in 2004 saying Masterson raped her when she was unconscious. Three other women, all Scientologists, also claim they were raped, but that the church intimidated them out of coming forward. Masterson told TMZ, quote, "I am obviously very disappointed in Netflix's decision to write my character off The Ranch. From day one, I've denied the outrageous allegations against me. Law enforcement investigated these claims more than 15 years ago and determined them to be without merit. I don't know much about math, but I know 2004 plus 15 is the future."
Yes.
Danny, are you lying? He goes on, "I've never been charged with a crime, let alone convicted of one. In this country, you're presumed innocent until proven guilty. However, in the current climate, it seems you're presumed guilty the moment you're accused." Well,
welcome to being black.
Well, and here's the other thing. You don't need to be convicted of a crime for an organization to go, you know what, we don't want you representing us.
Well,
because you've got the stain on you.
Yeah, but this kind of... it's kind of bullshit that they fired him the way they did. And I don't give a shit one way or the other.
Sure.
But the fact that they fired him, not because they believed the allegations, but because the mother of a kid on the soccer team went up to an executive and asked him, are they going to fire Danny Masterson because of the allegations? And he said, "We don't believe the allegations." And then she's like, "Oh, well, I wasn't one of the people that made the allegation." That's how he ended up getting fired.
Well,
because she went back and was like, "Oh, well, they said that they don't believe us." So he got fired because of it.
Well, he's not working on a terrible show. So yeah. I guess it's okay.
So
yeah. I guess it's okay. All right. Let's move on to happier things. Detroit is nothing but a city of fuck ups. How do I know? Well, they can't even blow up a stadium right. That's the sound of the Pontiac Silverdome being exploded, except it did not fall down.
Can I just say that there is specific insurance that like you have to buy? Like
you said, didn't fall down.
Did not
fall
down.
It did not fall down.
It did not fall down. It looked, honestly, it looked like nothing happened to it.
Wow.
Yeah, they are so fucked right now.
It was just amazing.
Did they go with the cheaper price or what?
Oh, yeah, definitely lowest bid, for sure.
They got Leon to do it. He did it at a really discounted rate.
Wow.
Tied together a bunch of shit. He got all his fireworks from Joe Dirt and tried to blow it up that way. He did not blow it up real good.
Man.
It was literally the most Detroit thing that could happen to something. Just amazing. But, yeah.
Has it come down yet?
I think they might have gotten around to it. But, I mean, it's not been a great month for blowing up stadiums. I mean, they did the one in Atlanta. That came down, but remember we had the bus that pulled in front of the shop?
Yeah.
And then this. So, a lot of stuff going on. All right. Meanwhile, they did the Christmas tree lighting in Washington, D.C. And you know how Donald Trump is really kind of big on attendance? Well, apparently there wasn't a huge of attendance at the tree lighting ceremony in D.C.
That is fake news, Nate.
And, well, Morning Joe would disagree with you, sir. And they had a few things to say about it. I'll let you know about it, you know, right after this Here we go.
Coach, we practice.
You see that Christmas tree lighting last night?
The one in D.C. that everyone showed up to?
Well, no, talk about that.
Okay, so beautiful, balmy evening on D.C., no excuse not to get outside, right?
Yeah.
And you go to the Christmas tree lighting, except not very many people turn
up. That tree's almost as good as the...
I've never seen it this empty.
Low turnout?
Never seen it.
Wow.
Rose, I mean, you know something.
Oh my God.
Low turnout.
Wow.
Holy moly.
But someone is not going to be happy with that photograph.
That is the biggest turnout at a Christmas tree lighting in history.
Well, There's never been as many people at a Christmas tree lighting.
It's a photo from the back of nothing but rows and rows of empty seats.
Yesterday, the streets were empty. You could walk everywhere.
And you look at this picture, and there were people that did side-by-side comparisons with last year and this year. And, my gosh, last year it really was. It was a mob scene. It shuts Washington down. You can't move anywhere around the
location. People are just
disgusted. And it wasn't cold, guys. I mean, it was a nice, warm, mild evening.
Yeah, there's no reason. I was like walking the dogs.
Nobody showed up. And, yeah.
Okay.
That looks like the biggest crowd I've ever seen.
A picture says 1,000 words.
It must be the top. Somebody must
1,000 empty seats at least. That's a low turnout. That would be a very small crowd. And there's no dispute.
It's so sad.
People didn't show up.
That's going to be like the crowd at Donnie's birthday party tonight.
They don't want to see.
I think there will be a dispute though, Mika. I feel a dispute brewing from the.
I don't think Mika likes the president.
That would be so much fun. Who harassed Joe or Mika?
I think they harassed each other. It was mutual harassment. That's the best kind. The best kind. Now, on to a different Christmas tree lighting. Of course, NPR has got the story for you.
Good morning. I'm David Green with one thing to think about when you're shopping for that Christmas tree. I know the big, tall one looks enticing. Your neighbors will have tree envy. But how are you going to get it home? Police in Massachusetts pulled over a driver because they couldn't see the car. It was enveloped in a Christmas tree. On the roof, sort of, but branches hung down over every window. The police posted a note reminding people to transport your holiday trees responsibly. It's Morning Edition.
It's Morning Edition.
It's Morning Edition.
Morning Edition.
Morning Edition.
Transfer your tree responsibly.
You guys got your trees in yet?
Oh, yeah, we did.
Kareem, tree?
No.
Do you not believe? Do you not at Christmas either?
Don't celebrate pagan holidays.
Oh, okay. Hey, man, whatever you like, whatever you like. Have you canceled your XM subscriptions yet? It's apparently Sirius XM gave Steve Bannon a show, and Seth Rogen canceled appearances on Sirius XM, and people are boycotting it.
I saw that, and I hadn't had. My girlfriend has it, so I don't have it.
Well, she needs to cancel it, Kareem. Don't you know?
And I wanted to know whether he, because they said he hired him, so I was like, I need to know whether he has a job, or if he just has a show.
Well, either way, I believe he has a show, because people are complaining that he has a platform now. He had a platform before, it was online,
yeah.
And it was much bigger than whoever is listening to Sirius XM.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know, I mean, it's great. I had a friend who is, well, he lives in Arizona now, and he is very upset about, let me find exactly what he wrote, because I think it's important to be accurate with this sort of thing.
Oh yeah, you don't want to have fake news.
I don't want to misquote him, on what he was saying, but this has been kind of a thing. I had a very long exchange with him about something, about a week or so ago, and, He decided to interject himself on a comment that I had made, a post that I had made, and he never answered the actual question. So I kept posting him. Ah, here it is. It's, this is a very long post. He said, so there are virtue signaling liberals canceling their XM Sirius accounts because Steve Bannon has a show on one of the channels. I'm reminded of when I was a kid and the religious right insisted on controlling everything on radio and TV to fit what they approved. The counter to that was simply, if you don't like it, change the channel. I think that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
The progressive left is the new religious right, self-appointed assholes who have declared themselves the moral arbiters over all society. They're nothing but bullies. I don't want to listen to Steve Bannon, so I won't. See how easy that is? There are people who do want to listen to him, and it's not your place to stop them. There are hundreds of channels on Sirius XM that cater to all kinds of different musical, sports, news, and political tastes. To every liberal, if you cannot tolerate opinions that differ from yours, then you are the dictionary definition of a bigot. Fuck you, Seth Rogen. Like most leftist celebrities, you're an empty, smug douchebag stuck in an echo chamber full of other empty, smug douchebags. Thoughts?
I agree with him wholeheartedly. And actually, if we had a, if we do the airing of the grievances on the next show, that was going to be my grievance.
Seth Rogen?
No.
Oh.
What he said.
People on the left becoming essentially the religious right, but socially, instead of hiding behind God, it's basically the fight for the moral high ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's to the point now where it's ridiculous because you don't make room for being human.
And right.
And the other part is not, what was I listening to? I was listening to something. Oh, I was talking to my brother. So my brother is a trainer for Oracle.
Okay.
Which puts him in his daily life, he deals with a certain group of people. They all come they don't come from the same socioeconomic background, but they now are all in the same socioeconomic education background. So they're like a small swath of America.
Yeah, like virtually anything else. When you specialize, you're going to get that when people are working in a certain strata.
Right. And so now you have this section of people who at this point live most of their life on Facebook and in their little gated communities. And not necessarily gated communities, but their little bubble communities that want to tell the people in the rest of the world how to live.
Okay.
And the people in the rest of the world don't necessarily want to live like that. But you're now the moral authority, or you're telling people how they're like, no, like some of this shit with the sexual harassment stuff. Some of that stuff is that people make bad choices, or people want to make certain decisions, or people make certain decisions. That's not your place to judge their, so you can't say, I want to judge their decision and I want women to be able to make the choices they want to make. But then if they make a choice that you disagree with, then we have to redo the whole system.
Counterpoint, Jason?
I think that I understand that, but at the same time, I think that there's a point where you can't, certain things no longer can be supported socially, and people have to be called out on it, you know, like racism and things of that nature. Like, it's not about a moral high ground. It's about people understanding, like, what is right and wrong, because there's certain people in society, especially white people, that obviously had never learned that lesson of what right and wrong is. So, like,
yeah, but those people are as racist as any fucking person in the South. Matter of fact, they're more dangerous than the people in white people that live in your neighborhood are more dangerous than the Roy Moores of the world.
No, I because you know what they are on the face value, and I get that, and I understand that, but I that's why you can't let that prevent, you can't allow any of it. So I get that from a part of that, but at the same time, like, you have, I don't know, man. It's tough. I get it. Like, I totally see it. And, like, that's one of the things that my wife said today to me, like, about what I posted, like, saying that, like, it sounds like, you know, like, I'm a, you know, like a right wing conservative, like, conspiracy theory type of person, you know, when I'm saying what I said today. You know, she's like, you need to take a break from Facebook, Jason. And I get it, because I look at it and I see that, but at the same time, like, there's just some fucking assholes out there, and it's I don't know, man.
Here's the deal: you're not gonna make the world isn't perfect. The world is not meant to be perfect. You're not going to make the world perfect. You're not gonna make everybody do all the shit that you want to do, because not everybody wants to be perfect. Not everybody wants to live in the suburbs and have a nice little quiet life and raise their kids to be to go to college. Not everybody wants that. There are a lot of people. There are a lot of people that want to do dumb shit. We've raised a generation of those people on Jackass at this point, in ridiculousness, and they're doing a bunch of that stuff. There are girls that want to be strippers. There are girls that want to be sex workers. There are women that enjoy sex that just want to, that's what they want to do. There are women who have decided that their way to get to the top is by sleeping their way to the top. And there are white people that have never been exposed to black people and are okay with that and just want to be racist and want to live in their little towns and not do anything else. I'm okay with all those people doing the shit that they want to do as long as they are not preventing me from moving forward in my life. Because I don't control those people. I can only control Kareem. That's it. That's the only person that I can control. I'm not interested in trying to control anybody else. And that's what these people are trying to do. They're trying to make everything easy so their kids don't have to have any difficulties in life. Guess what life is? Life is difficulties. Life is learning lessons. You don't learn a lesson if you're never challenged by anything.
No, you got it. No, yes.
Yes, and that's what they are. That's who they become. And they haven't really been through shit, so they really don't know what it's like to actually have to deal with shit.
So you think Seth Rogen fits into that category?
Yeah, I think Seth Rogen is one of those, he's one of those I made it people who think that the world is a certain way now because he's made it. And he forgot all the shit that he had to get through to make it.
Well, and here's the other thing about Seth Rogen. I think as a celebrity, he's using his place to say, I'm not okay with this, so I'm not going to go on that platform, which is totally cool because he's not saying they need to fire Steve Bannon. He's right. Just saying, as long as he's associated with it, I'm not going to be a part of it. And one could argue that celebrities using their position to put forth a viewpoint that they feel is right is a good thing. Whether it's someone like Jim Brown or LeBron James or Seth Rogen, a Canadian stoner.
Yes. And I'm totally okay with that too.
Yeah.
But don't try to dictate to other people what they can and cannot do.
Right. The people who were going on saying, I'm canceling my Sirius XM subscription and you should too.
Yeah.
I've already saved them the problem. I don't have one.
Yeah, I don't. That's the thing. I think that's the thing that upsets me more. That there's people that try to get other people. Like, dude, it's really simple, and it's a personal decision that you need to make as a human being. Is do you want to continue listening to Sirius XM, knowing that they employ Steve Bannon? And that's all the question is.
Yeah,
keep it to your fucking self.
Yep, that's literally. Literally all it is.
Just keep it to yourself. Like, okay, that's cool. I mean, like, everybody else heard it. Like, everybody talked about it for a day.
Right. And then the kid got bullied, allegedly. Here's what you should tell all of your friends. To shop Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com because it helps support the show and it doesn't cost you anything extra. And that's what America is about.
America.
That's what America is about. I'm just saying. All right, we're running dreadfully long. Dreadfully,
oh shit.
Dreadfully long. I had to bring that up. I thought that was a good thing. So let's wrap this bitch up.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
Oh, we're gonna combine small town news with NPR? Fuck yeah.
What the hell is going on? Montpellier, France ordered jerseys for its professional soccer club, but when the jerseys were unpacked, there was just one L in the town's name, not two. Penalty on the manufacturer. But Montpellier city officials didn't despair. They donated. They sent the 1L jerseys to the city of Montpelier, 1L Vermont, where they'll be auctioned to raise money for the Montpelier High School Athletic Department and other charities, including a church in Ghana. That's where Noel Ribby Williams, a Montpelier senior and soccer player, was born. She told TV station WCAX,
"It's just great that out of a little kindness, another little kindness happens. And if everybody in the world just spread kindness, the world would be such a better place."
You know, it sounds as if both Montpellier and Montpelier are going to have great seasons.
Wow, that's good news. There you go. That's small town news.
Small town news.
It's a little different.
Montpellier and Montpellier.
Yep. Hey, you weren't expecting it.
I wasn't.
There you go. All right, so I didn't get to hear the Foo Fighters in concert because snot in my lungs. So let's wrap up the show with little Foo Fighters. Fun fact, the kid that was sitting in front of my friends that would have been sitting in front of me, his name was Everlong.
No, it's not.
It was. His parents named him Everlong. And he stayed through all the way to the end of the concert because this was the last song they played.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, right? So
it's a great song.
It is. Well, it's a bunch of great Foo Fighters songs. So anybody who got to enjoy them live, good for you. I guess I'll get my time in September. All right, Friday's going to be a classic Christmas episode because 'tis the season. We'll have a new episode for you next Wednesday. We're going to record that right now. In the meantime, enjoy Dave Grohl and the boys on the Dave Darling Show.